Namaste and in La Ketch, and welcome to this episode of One World in a New World. I'm your host, Zen Benefiel. And if you're curious as to what those two phrases mean, go back and look at some previous episodes. I'll inform you there. Really great information to know and apply in your lives. Well, this week's guest is Bill Heinrich. He is an expert coach for top executives, and he is an author of Seven Levels of Truth, A Direct Path to Your Life Purpose. That's got to be an interesting book. And The Seven Levels of Truth, The Answer to Life's Biggest Question. He's also the owner and founder of True Life Purpose Now. And previously, he was the head of the new business development for Keller Williams Realty and got 65 agents in less than 6 months. So that's just a phenomenal effort and result. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. Happy to be here.
So in all of this, you mentioned also in your bio that you had some success early. And what we like to focus on in our conversations is, you know, how that inner drive, that inner awareness, the connection that you have to kind of what your true purpose is. And so the topics for your books are very relevant for today's conversation. So how did you first get in touch with that inner side of you when you were younger? What were you experiencing? How did
I didn't.
Ah, okay.
I didn't. It's looking back now. I was brought up in a very strict religious family, and I was just in a constant state of failure, never doing anything right, based upon the doctrine and everything else.
Kind of got set up for that, isn't it? And isn't it strange how those kinds of things are intended to really empower and exalt us, and they do the opposite.
When you understand it, it's not strange at all, because we come here to learn lessons. And so we're given that opportunity right from the get-go.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this in regard. So you mentioned that it didn't really happen when you were younger. I really understand the strict religious upbringing. I get that. I'd heard at one point, I had a spiritual awakening at 18, and my parents, I talked to them about it. Of course, they immediately sent me to a psychiatrist. Now, the psychiatrist, after a few visits, said, you know, you're really not crazy. You've had a spiritual awakening, but most people don't go through it till their mid-40s, if they ever do. So does that apply to you?
Yeah. I kind of backed into it, so to speak. And let me explain that.
Sure.
With my upbringing, I, in the fifth grade, just kind of gave up and figured, well, I'm going to hell, so I'll have fun on the way there. That was really
good. Enjoy the trip, huh?
Right, exactly, good. Right? And so I did. I gave up. My schoolwork, everything suffered, and finally got out of school, went to a two-year business school, went to work. I mean, I just had low self-esteem. It was just nuts, really, looking back on it. But ended up buying and owning my own business at the age of 25 and had success, but I couldn't keep it because I didn't have any self-worth. And, you know, I mean, I just, life was just kind of crazy. So my whole thing was just about getting by and having fun and getting people to like me and staying out of as much conflict as I could.
Right. Which, so I hear you saying you kind of had some cognitive dissonance going on.
Well, I was just,
you knew better, and yet that past programming was saying, no, you know,
the irony is, as now I'm looking back, as a child, it was my inner wisdom that was causing me to go, what is going on here? None of this makes sense, what these people are doing. Right.
There was no empathic resonance with it.
I had that knowing, but I could only translate it to the fact there was something wrong with me because everybody was doing it, right?
Right.
So
yeah, so you just couldn't fit in, right? And that's really what we try to do when we were younger. It just doesn't
be accepted.
You know, we want to fit in. We want to be social. We want to have friends. And
right.
Sometimes we make poor choices in that.
Many times throughout our life we do. But so it all culminated, you know, I was just so miserable 30 years ago that I just walked away from my life, literally. I just had it. I couldn't take it anymore. I had to go find the reason why. So my whole pursuit was one of cause of misery and to be able to live a more, there is a heaven and hell and it's here on earth. So to transcend.
Right. And we put ourselves in either, right?
That's it. It's our choices, right? Yeah. And I was in hell, you know, and so I had to find out why. Well, as I started investigating it, of course, it just continually, I got led to universal resources one after the other over a period of time. During this course of time, things really opened for me energetically, I realized I'm an energetic empath and I have these gifts that I'm able to, we come to Earth with seven distinct energies, which flow through our chakras, our seven divine gifts. That's the name of the book, The Seven Levels of Truth. And each of those energies, we're very familiar with them, but in a dysfunctional way because we're always in survival. And so
I never taught about them either. I mean, how far back did you search to find this? Did you go back to the Vedas and Rig Vedas and Upanishads far back? Or did you?
No. Okay. It happened in an instant. It happened in an instant. I was at a seminar of a friend of mine's on about soul reclamation.
Uh-huh.
In fact, Andrea Hess, do you know Andrea? She's over in your area.
Not yet.
Okay. She's in your area. This was 10, 15 years ago. At the beginning of the seminar Friday, she talked a little bit about the divine gifts and then boom, into the seminar Friday night about the divine gifts and Saturday and Sunday. And the minute she talked about them, I knew all about them. I knew everything. I mean everything. And I mean everything.
It's strange when we have those moments of clarity that it's and I wonder, you know, sometimes it's called the non-linear or non-local mind where everything just becomes available instantly and you have that moment, that epiphany of everything connected and you have infinite intelligence right now.
Well, and the truth of
now, which questions did you ask after that?
The truth of the matter is we are in that state 100% of the time. We just block it. We have access to infinite intelligence 100% of the time. But in order to access that, you have to detach from the physical.
Oh, yeah. You got to get out of your own way.
And this is, so anyways, these energies. So I'm able to do a meditation. I can show a person exactly what their energies are. So once I had these realizations, I mean, I was in a relationship and my partner and I were going back the next day and I was talking about the divine gifts on the way back the next morning. And she was like, where the hell is this coming from? I said, what do you mean? She said, nothing was said about that. Like, where are you getting this? Like, I was just rambling about them, right? Uh-huh. She's like, what the hell is going on? I mean, that's how much I knew. And I realized instantly, understanding your divine energy is your crowning moment on earth. It is the moment of all that is, because our energy is all we are.
Right. Now, would you also consider that being, not to interrupt, but I'd like to interject this kind of a reflective moment. From my experience, we can equate another phraseology, if you will, of cosmic consciousness condensed into form as us, and we have that direct connect to everything, which is what you're talking about, which is aware that we do.
However, that is correct, but it is not the manner that I would explain it.
Hmm. Oh, I we're two different people. We explain a lot of the same things.
And that's that's the beauty of everybody's divinity, is we are each individually different.
Yeah.
The challenge, and I've been coaching people now for 15 years all around the world, worked with many, many people, touched literally tens of thousands of people, because once a person gets this energy piece, it changes everything around them.
It certainly does.
Everything. And the problem is, in the explanation that you gave, which was 100% correct, is I only want to look at it from the physical. I don't want to look at it esoterically or from the metaphysical.
I totally get it, because it really doesn't matter unless you can get practical and pragmatic in the world.
And you can improve you can improve your life here from the physical, right? So the first, these energies, excuse me.
Sure.
These energies flow through our seven chakras. It's divine compassion, divine creation, divine order, divine healing, divine authentic self-expression, divine truth, and divine power are the seven energies that go from our root chakra to our crown chakra. But when we're born and we come into life, this is where we go through that massive energy reduction coming into physical form that you were referring to.
Right.
And then we're born.
Well, it's like bandwidth. Because exactly. of the expansion, exactly. when you're coming exactly. in, that bandwidth is not necessarily truncated, but it's condensed. And so, and the various
significantly.
Levels. Yes. Well, it has to be, because if we were in our full divine God being,
we'd be all that is.
Need the physical, we would be
That's correct.
Already. And so now we're in this process, and I dare say we're learning how
to be. And what you've just said is the way you want to live life, is live life from your God being, as you call it, your universal being. Your
I call it the God participle.
Actually. Whatever we call it, it's fine with me.
The being.
But, but these energies flow through us. And so where we get confused is we go through that reduction when we're born, and then they slap our ass and everything goes downhill from there. And it's just focus on survival. From that point on, that's everything we're taught, and we have life lessons. And because we have life lessons, there's 38 different life lessons passed. So everybody has life lessons that deal with a variety of different things. That means we have a huge blind spot. We're looking through a very narrow window with very tight boundaries on our ignorance. Like it's all about survival. We don't have the capacity to move into cosmic awareness. Right, which is you have access to all that is. It's real simple.
Unless we have some kind of traumatic event that causes us to question and open.
Right. So I'm that traumatic event. I'm the one that shocks people. I'm the one that really gets people's attention. And I just have this gift for it. My intuition, catching the right people who were really looking for it, but hiding behind what's going on in the physical.
And when you're in a room full of people, that's easy to get when you have that empathic capacity that you're talking about. You can see it in their eyes. You instantly recognize that, oh, there's something here.
I call them into me energetically. It's real simple. You know, they just show up. So here's what I want the audience to understand. Life purpose is great. Metaphysics, all these other things are great. But the real question is, how can you live a happier life with more contentment? That's all I want to know. It's what Abraham Maslow refers to.
Hierarchy of needs.
Self-actualization.
Right.
Well,
now there's also self-realization. There's a dual, the inner and outer.
Right.
Self-actualization and self-realization. One's inner and one's outer.
Well, there you go. This is what we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
because the self-actualization is, Maslow was all about reaching peak potential. When you go to self-realization, now you have to step into a different dimension. You have to acknowledge that we live in two dimensions. We live in a physical in a non-physical dimension.
Aren't the two one though?
Huh? No, not at all. Not at all. They're completely separate.
Okay. I'll accept that. Your perception. I don't find that in my life.
If you don't separate them, you can't identify truth. And the difference.
Well, see here. Now, here's where I would ask, how could you, if you do not bridge the inner and outer, then how do you have truth? Because
I'll explain that
in a universe that is creation, that's one, we're just that cosmic consciousness, which is formless, that then condenses into form. So to me, and in my own experience, and granted, it's just my experience, I could be wrong, I don't know everything, and yet I do, right? So there's this, it seems, natural progression to bridging those and combining or having the synergy of the two.
No, believe it or not, because
but my experience is evidence for me of it. So this is a place where
let's look at
maybe
it.
We can find some, you know, navigable space.
I'll show you the differentiation factor.
Okay.
Okay. That separates the two. Okay. And they're clearly separate. And until you see them separate, you will always create more struggle, more suffering in the physical. Okay, because that's all our physical life is about. Our physical life is about us protecting ourselves and surviving.
Okay.
That our mind can only access our past, period. It can, your mind cannot come to the present moment. It's not possible. It's impossible. To be in the present moment, you have to be there energetically with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be there energetically. If you're there in your head, you're there intellectually, and it's shallow, and everybody's exchanging words, but there's no the energy.
Okay, we're different. I need to differentiate some terms here. Mind to me is non-local. The brain and our thinking is the intellectual side of things.
And I agree with you completely. However, I'm speaking to the masses, so okay. I want to keep it on a level they can understand.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
So here's why I'm saying it, okay? I've researched this for 30 years. I've worked with people. The tools that I use when I work with executive CEOs, business owners, are so powerful that I give a 100% money-back guarantee of success. 100%, no questions asked, okay? How can I do that? Because these work. If you choose them, your life changes so fast. It's crazy. But you have to understand the two dimensions and what runs them. In the physical, everything's run by our ego and our brain and our subconscious. In fact, everything's decided for us before we even think about it in the physical. And we're looking at something that isn't even true because it's a perception of our past. So as people stand there, everybody has different perceptions. We're all different. This is where the challenge happens in the physical. The physical, because your ego and head is involved, is fear-based. You cannot have fear in the non-physical. When you go into the non-physical, there's no
such thing. See, I don't think you can have, I think fearlessness is possible in the physical.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. However.
Okay. Oh, so this is where we're headed. Okay, cool. I'm just leaping ahead, evidently.
Well, that's just it. You see? Okay.
Because I have the experience of it. And so I can relate.
Well, exactly. And what you're saying, look, we can go there and have that conversation, but we aren't going to help the audience as much.
Exactly.
You know? And I'm more kind of like blue collar spirituality. It's kind of like roll your sleeves up. Here's the way it works. So okay. Just
cool, because that's really what we need. That's the apocalyptic moments for people.
That exactly. So just get this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There are only two emotions in life. That's it. Everything either comes from fear or love. Every emotion. And you can't have an emotion without a story.
True.
You have to have a story. So
now you can have a sensation without a story.
That's correct. You can have a sensation. However, you're going to put a story to it immediately, right?
Normally speaking, yeah, we do. We
and you'll have that. And this is the so good you said that, because in order to open your mind, you want to encounter those sensations, but those are feelings, those aren't intelligence. And those sensations are typically filled with love, kindness, gratitude, and joy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens on the non-physical side, because on the non-physical side, the thing that runs our whole existence on the non-physical side is our heart. It's feelings. And the only thing that's true to any moment in your life, 100% true, is how you feel.
Mm-hmm. Now, I take it a little deeper than that. And maybe you've heard this and can reflect on it. It's like an ancient indigenous philosophy of three brains, not the, the heart and the mind being two of them, but the gut being the third, which is what is able to sense the frequencies, the vibrations, which now quantum physics is showing that's all we are. And so that's how we find that resonance or non-resonance.
Many people get
the empathic side of things. That's where it begins.
Exactly.
Yeah. But
again, it's empathic. Everybody pay attention to this, because when you focus on energy in the language that builds energy, okay, and I'll give you some examples. In fact, I've got a free book for your guests called Clarity Has No Story. Okay, the language you use speaks either to the non-physical or it speaks to survival in the physical. And when you speak to survival in the physical, you're becoming a victim. When you speak to your power and expansion in the non-physical, you're exercising your power.
Mm-hmm.
You're building your power. So when you focus just on your energy, forget about the physical. Just focus on how you're reacting to it energetically. And you can transcend so many things in life. It's mind-boggling.
But able to do that, though, you have to have or be aware of the observer within you.
Right. Absolutely. It's the key. What I teach, I teach awareness.
Yeah.
Because with awareness, you have more choices.
Right. Right. Well, you can tell I have a little history in that too.
Yeah, well, we can go run down that rabbit hole, but that'd be a whole nother show, right?
Sure.
But for the people out there, just be with that, okay? Because here's a saying that I know everybody's heard, and I want you to think about this saying. People will never remember what you said, but they're always going to remember how you
made them feel.
You made them feel. Hello? Energy.
But the reality is we don't make them feel. That's the choice that they make based on what they hear and perceive to be.
Not 100% correct, okay? And here's why. Because as you work with this energy and coming from a place of love rather than being in reaction in the physical, so something's going on, whatever's happening, like, okay, this doesn't look good, but let me come in and come from a place of love, rather than coming from fear. In these situations, the world's a mirror. Everything you see in the world is a reflection of you.
Right.
And it's in those moments then that someone is in an intellectual space that's not in alignment. However, they're feeling your energy, because your energy is coming from a place of love, and you're creating a new energetic mirror of them, and they go, okay, but what's
love,
that?
By the energy of love, let's unpack that just a little bit, if we may.
Great.
So in that place, there's no attachments, no projections, no judgments, criticisms of the person in front of you. You're just there for the
benefit
of all.
Yep.
Okay. Now, Aurobindo had a great phrase about that. You may be familiar with it as well. You know, in order to find your center, you've got to stand in the middle of chaos. And that's often how it feels when you're in that place.
Chaos always precedes change.
Yes.
Always precedes change. And, you know, just understand that your life right now, the life you're living right now is out of control. You're living with a blindfold on, and you're making decisions based on who you aren't. Mm-hmm. People don't like hearing that, but the truth of the matter is we don't know the day we're going to die.
All we can do is find the fearlessness in living.
Exactly. It's in this moment. It isn't in the trip you're taking this weekend. It's right here. It's right now. This is where you create the energy that affects your whole life, always in the moment. Now, when you go to the past or future, you're dealing with the energy of the past controlling you, and those stories are controlling you.
Right. And the anxiety that's present with them, because when you're in the present, there's anticipation, not anxiety.
It's impossible to create fear in the present moment.
Yeah.
It's impossible. You have to go to the past or the future, but the future's nothing more than the past thrown out in front of you.
Well, speaking of stepping out in front of the bus, that's a moment you don't necessarily want to partake in, but that's a common sense thing where that you would normally choose not to do that, right? Mm-hmm. Unless you get a short, sharp shove out. And then it's a whole different story. Now, there's also the aspect of being able to find that presence, be in it, and yet when you discovered that, as you were making this transition, because this is kind of one of the ways I like to focus on how things are done, right? What your mm-hmm. personal experience was that you could share to give that embellishment, if you will, of how it was like for you in that process. What were the kinds of things that you were going through? And I'm going to make an assumption that was in your mid to late 20s as you were beginning to grapple with all of this.
No, it was in my 40s.
Oh, it was in your 40s. Oh, so you did fit.
Yeah, it was in my I walked away from my life. I didn't have a spiritual moment. It was
Moment doesn't mean awakening or something like that. It could be as simple as
it was.
There's a moment of, oh shit, what am I gonna do?
Well, I'd had enough.
Yeah.
I literally just had enough. Here's an analogy for people. Okay. You have a radar system in you that will tell you exactly where you are and where you're going if you'll pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you do that? How did that come about in this transition?
It came about in the form of a miracle, because I was going to these monthly seminars, spiritual seminars. I don't even know why I was going. Like, they're in there talking about feelings and things. And believe me, I was a rock. And it took, I went for 2 years before I understood feelings. Now, why did I go back? I have no idea at this point.
Something was compelling you.
Whatever it was.
But that non-local mind, maybe.
It's
here's where you need to go. We're going to keep pushing there, and you're going to feel like you need to be there, whether you want to or not.
I lived in such a desperate state of protection that my walls were in front of you, just couldn't get through them, mm-hmm. And I was in prison, yet I was the warden. I had the keys hanging on my belt, right?
Isn't that the way it is?
Isn't that the truth? But here's the deal. It's, everything in the universe, and we live on Earth, but we're part of the universe. And when you look at the overall picture of the universe, Earth, you can't find it. It's just too small. The universe is massive, and it runs everything on a vibration. Everything's on a vibration. So if you want to create, you have to use a vibration to create. You can't do it intellectually. You've got to use the vibration. You have a radar system, and that radar system is how you feel.
Yeah, it's the sensations you entertain.
And you should feel happy, joyous, and free all the time. And if you don't, then you have stories inside you that don't support you. It's not outside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything outside of you is just a reflection of you.
Right.
So when you see somebody you don't like, that's you. You know,
you wonder where you're at in life. Well, look around you. It'll tell you exactly.
Just look around you. Exactly. I have a woman in my group coaching. It's so funny. She's an accountant and tax CPA. And she'd been very successful business person, you know, and really just very lively, great person. Mm-hmm. She'd come to about three or four of my sessions. And I was like, okay, so what's going on? Who's bugging you in your life, you know? And she went, oh, let me tell you, great. Off she went, right, telling us. She got all done. I said, you want to hear something amazing? She said, what's that? I said, that's you. Her eyes were as big as saucers. Like, mm-hmm. She got it instantly. She still talks about that. She's been working with me in my group coaching a couple of years. Everything you see is you. The path is so simple. It's so simple, but you've got to stop with the distractions. Everything outside of you is a distraction. Everything inside of you is what matters. And when you can connect to that, you can create and do things. It's just, when you're in collaboration with the universe, then what happens?
Well, I can be the self-attest to that. 47 years of prep work after my awakening as a teenager, and which gave me this direction of helping to facilitate a new world order of harmony among people and planet, and that it would happen in my lifetime. It just so happens that through one of these apocalyptic chats, I meet the founder of Live and Let Live Global Peace Movement. And 3 months later, I'm the executive director. So how fitting is that of being able to just stay there, follow? Now, I have to say, in all honesty, it was excruciatingly fun in places. And I say that because of the patterns that come up and the recognition of the process of overcoming those patterns that over time. Right. You recognize initially, mm-hmm. It's like, okay, here's one of those learning moments, right? Where this pattern comes up for diffusion and being able to create a new pattern from that, that actually accentuates the positive rather than diminishes it.
And let me tell you in that respect, the first choice you can make to move towards positive from something that was negative, because people see it and they go, oh, well, this is not behavior or energy that's supportive of the life I'm going to create. This is mm-hmm. like, this isn't good. But they don't know what to do.
Right.
Okay. Here's what you do. Nothing. Remove yourself and just pause. Just be with your peacefulness.
And it's that's such a powerful place to be.
It's incredibly powerful.
It is.
You'll know what to do after that.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Just remove yourself. Notice the difference in the energy.
Right. Now, simply, I, if I may, dear friend now on the other side, Kai D, you probably remember him as the original WOFAT on Hawaii 5-0. He had a doctorate in theology. He was the rector for a Taoist sanctuary here in Tempe, Arizona. He'd said to me one time, you know, in the Taoist way, there are two choices. It's either desirable or undesirable. Well, that's a sensation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the differentiator is pretty easy.
It's energy.
Does it feels good or not?
Mm-hmm.
And if it does, okay, let's go that direction. If it doesn't, why? Or even the question isn't necessarily necessary. It's just you choose to, okay, that doesn't feel good. I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to move towards another direction. And oftentimes, the reason why it didn't feel good will evolve and present itself later.
You can't ask a question without getting the answer.
Right.
It's not possible in the universe. You know, in this place of self-realization compared to self-actualization, which takes in the physical, the self-realization is all about the inner game. It's just about your inner game. Here's something that everyone really wants to understand is if the challenge and disruption and suffering you're having in life is not coming from inside of you, then you're a victim. In other words, you have no power. You are giving all your power, blaming someone else for your unhappiness. You're giving away your power. I am responsible for everything in my life. Sitting here right now, if a tree fell and hit my RV, I'd go, how do I call that into my life? Right? Not like, right? Like there's a message. I'm going to take ownership of it because when I have ownership of it, I have power. I have the power to change it. If I don't take ownership of it and sit here and go, man, this Zen is off the wall. He's just not getting me. He doesn't get this. He's, and I'm pointing at the other. It's the whole problem's inside of me. It has absolutely nothing to do with Zen. It's all about me and my perception.
Right. Well, it's like, what is it? Covey's fifth insight or fifth habit. Seek first to understand before being understood. Right. There's all of these, and even Jesus, long time, he's quoted as, whether he said it or not, we don't know. However, he's quoted as saying, make the without is the within. Right. So there's that first establish the self-realization that, as he, I think in the Dead Sea Scrolls, he was quoted as telling Thomas, don't you know that ye are God as I am God? Well, that's a whole new thing. It's exactly what we're talking about. And yet that is blasphemous to modern religion, right? And so how do we get beyond that in that? So there's two questions I'd like to ask. First, you know, going back to when you made this transition, how that affected, you know, maybe even giving some specific examples of what was going on in your life. And then how do we connect that? Because it, here we're back to that bridging of inner and outer, and that the self-actualization actually does help to create the outer world that we truly, the desirable world, right?
You can create anything you desire. Yeah. Well, when I walked away from my life, I kind of wandered for 6 months. Actually, not totally. A few weeks.
What was going on at that point that made you want to walk
total away?
Chaos. I think this is significant for the audience to understand. Because they may be in it too.
Anger, judgment, blame, shame, guilt, arguing with my partner, things not going right in my life, not feeling good enough, seeing not being equal with people, seeing people as better than me, measuring myself against people that enormous, whatever it might have been.
It's right, just, something you aspired
I
to
had no,
get
I had
the
no
rest of the ability
earth.
To be.
I was just nothing. I was miserable. And doing everything I could to get approval outside of me from people around me. And when I walked away, in the first few weeks, one thing happened. I started reading a book by Pia Melody called Facing Codependence. And I was reading that. I was in the first chapter. And in the first chapter, I had this burning bush moment because there's a list in the first chapter of if you identify with these, then you're codependent, you know, and another list of 10 things or whatever. Sure. Well, when I was going through that list, I realized something that shocked me so completely that it took me 3 days to get over it. And that was, I was defending the people I was rebelling against and defending my position. So I was just in a state of protection.
Yeah, there's that cognitive dissonance.
And when I saw that defensiveness, how I used defensiveness to run my life, I literally fell to the floor and cried for 2 days. I had lost that much of my life living in this little thing that I was defending that had absolutely zero, had negative value. It was just, this is why I walked away.
You made a point that I think is valid in that even as men, we can't, it's okay to break down.
Oh, it's imperative.
If you do it by yourself, great. It's better if you do it with someone else because that you care for, because it allows you the opportunity to speak about what's going on and hear yourself and transcend it from that place. And it's kind of, you know, having that relationship is all powerful.
Let me something. First of all, because of the way I've studied this and my understanding of energy, anybody listening to you, whatever, I don't care what problems and challenges you have, I can show you a simple solution to anything, anything, because there's a solution for everything.
Absolutely. Otherwise, and we wouldn't be presented with it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And when you follow your radar, you get to choose how you feel, but you have to understand the stories inside you. And we have a tendency to want to protect our parents, yet our parents are two of our major teachers, you know. And when somebody, oh, I had the most beautiful childhood, it's like, have a seat on the couch here for an hour and let's get to the bottom of this, right? Because that just isn't the case. We paint it over, we make it good, it's all part of survival. And these stories are running our life inside us that don't serve us anymore. They just don't serve us because we're each very unique. And that's the beauty, Zen, you know, is for me to sit here and just have appreciation for who you are, where you are on your journey, what you've experienced. And the one thing that we always find true when we get into these conversations about our life purpose and universal law, universal energy, is the path always goes to the same place, doesn't it, Zen? It always goes to truth. It always goes to love, cooperation, appreciation, gratitude.
It's interesting, and I'd like to bring this up, see what you think about this. There's a place that we often go to. We don't necessarily describe it because it's nothingness. It's that empty cup scenario, if you will, where there, and that's where everything comes from. That's where we now
That's the best spot in life.
And it's so powerful, yet we don't discuss that or understand it or seek to explore what it's like in that quiet zone, if you will, because that's, and yet in that place, there's a vibration, there's a frequency that is just yours.
That's correct.
And from there, the more you pay attention to that, the more you can go to that place of nothingness and listen to that frequency, the greater experience your life will open to as a result. There's the ineffable, right?
Well, actually,
it is so true and real and fascinating that there's really no words. I mean, we could talk, like you said earlier, we could dive into that rabbit hole and talk about it forever because of the resonance that we both have with that.
Well, it's the understanding of how to access what's known as pure potentiality, or to access and tap into all of our potential, all of our power. All of our potential is in the non-physical, and you access it through self-realization.
Right.
You don't access it by setting goals and expectations. You access it.
Well, that's the reflection of understanding it.
Right. You access it by unlocking the things that are blocking it. And as you do that, you see new things emerge instantly. You know, that's the beauty of doing all this work. And, you know, I'm still, I don't know what phase I'm in my transformation, but I'm still in it because I'm still learning more.
Right? It's a constant.
But I, as you were explaining that, when you live from the side of the non-physical, from a vibration, where you always sit is at the edge of the gap. Because I don't care what happens in the physical. It doesn't matter to me. All I care about is my energetic contribution.
How you show up.
That's it. Now that is your life purpose. It's the energy behind every thought, word, and action. It is not what you do, Zen. Let me repeat that. It is not what you're doing in the physical. It's the energy behind every thought, word, and action.
I frame it, and you'll love this, I think. Attention, intention, and interaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's always
actually,
three pillars.
Well, but I would reverse them. Intention would have to come first, because where your attention goes, you go. And so if your attention is following your intention, then you're in good energetic order. If your attention is first, you'll get trapped in the physical, because your ego will take you there.
True. And maybe I do have a clip because the intention that I've had, right, I naturally put the attention in front, because that's where my attention goes.
Right. Every thought, word, and action through every moment of the day is supporting that intention energetically.
Mm-hmm. Or we hope so. Right? That's our intention. We don't necessarily perform to peak in that at times, because we're still in that transition of dealing with the bumps and kerfuffles.
I wouldn't agree with that. I would say that we're always moving into a new level of peak because of our awareness, because we're always making new choices that lead us closer to our intention.
Exactly. So we said the same thing differently.
Constant path of expansion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And awareness and clarity. You know, that's the thing that's missing in physical form is clarity. Nobody has clarity. There's no clarity in life, and there never will be any. Let me repeat that. There's no clarity, and there never will be any. There are things on your mind right now that you're trying to figure out, and the reason you're trying to figure them out is because you can't see. There's no clarity. This is what challenges are. It's all about clarity.
For me, that's not resonating. That's more of a belief, because I believe that there is constant clarity when we're open to it. And again, I say belief, right? It's been my experience that being in that nothingness, complete clarity comes.
But I said in the physical.
Oh, right. Okay.
This is why.
Because
it's
the physical,
important.
You don't know how others are going to respond.
Never going to be clarity.
All right, I'll come back into that agreement space with you.
Right? In the non-physical, you gain clarity based upon the energetic interaction that's going on.
That's the empathic resonance or not that you have with it, and why or why not.
Or you step into the physical world, you get pissed off, and you tell them to shove it, and you say, we aren't doing it that way, and you walk away, and you go into reaction, right?
And then you'll face it again soon.
And then you'll face it again soon, louder. Right. Let's add louder to that. But when you look at it energetically, and you go, wow, I didn't like the way I felt in that interaction, I'm going to pause. I want to go sit and be with this for a minute.
And that's a place for growth to occur.
And that's where the growth occurs. And then you get near one of those interactions and you go, we need to get back on this, because this doesn't feel good to me. I'd like to have a better conversation. So I need to prepare for it. Give me 10 minutes.
Now here's a perfect place to say, okay, how do we begin those conversations? Because most people, myself included at one point, were really reticent to broach that because, man, that's a really uncomfortable place.
I don't know how to do that.
Right.
Do you know how to do it? It's very easy. How would you do it?
I voice how I'm feeling and ask if there's any resonance with it from the others, and how can we talk about it?
Mm-hmm. It's
that clear and precise. Now, it took a long time to get there because I tried to frame it in so many.
You can't.
And you're right. You can't.
Here's the easiest way to do it. Where you're at in that moment is you're dealing with an energy that's not comfortable. There's something going on. energetically. Maybe the person's angry. It could be many different things.
Mm-hmm. Would you say it's simply miscommunication?
No. Okay. No, it's fire ready aim. It is.
Well, and yes, so, I totally agree, because that's the reaction you get from the
enemy. Well, it's a reaction. They're out of control, and what they're upset about has nothing to do with me. I may have said something that ignited it for them, but that's their deal, not mine.
Right. Right?
Not if I'm coming from a place of love.
Right.
So here's the way I would handle it. Zen, I completely understand how you feel. Like when these things happened to me in the past, I would get so upset about it.
Sure.
Right? Then I realized there was a better way to handle it.
Yeah.
And I started looking at it. And I found that it's much easier to have an open, transparent, peaceful conversation about it. And then we can just continue to like each other and there's no hard feelings. So you want to do that? So I'm saying, you know, listen, I was a total jerk, and boy, I just can't live that way anymore. I kind of changed the way I do things. Has mm-hmm. nothing to do with them. They won't even know that you're talking about their behavior. They'll just follow you.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you get someone that's intellectually astute, and they will get that. But they're still in the argumentative place, right?
Where yeah, I just stop.
And that's kind of why,
in fact,
I begin with, you know, how I'm sensing things, and I've said, you know, I'm not quite sure what's going on. If there's, you know, there seems to be some miscommunication. Help!
Yeah, you seem to be upset. What's going on?
Yeah, exactly. And so it softens again.
Sure.
But you still start with acknowledging the other person's thoughts or feelings anyway, their
sure.
expression. Right. Because if you don't, then you're going to have that.
Oh, no, I completely understand how you feel that way. I lived that way for so many decades. And
right.
then I finally just got sick of being angry all the time and found other ways to resolve it. We could certainly talk about it that way. And you kind of lead the path for them.
What keeps us from that?
A fear of change. You know, I understand my life. It's, I got this. I'm not really crazy about my job, and you know, my marriage is okay and this, but that's okay. I maneuver it, and not, you know, I don't want to go to the unknown.
And there is the power.
And it's
going
really
to the unknown.
Ultimately, it comes down to the Marianne Williamson, missive from it. You know, I think it's a Return of Miracles, something like that. Where, you know, our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure.
Mm-hmm.
We ask ourselves, who are we to be fabulous, talented, and magnificent, not to be your child of God? And so it goes on. People right. are afraid of their power. We all are.
And those who do stand in it fearlessly are often seen, and this is the little selves in those who are watching, right? They will project their own ego on them and say mm-hmm. that they're this, that, and the other, and you know. And yet they don't realize they're just projecting themselves. That's who they
are. But do you know what they're doing? What they're doing.
Well, they're diminishing their own power to begin with.
Yeah, but what they're really doing is they're just saying, if he's
I
right,
really like
I'm
what
wrong.
That person has to offer, right?
If he's right, I'm wrong. I'm gonna dig my heels in and protect where I'm at. I don't
and even offer excuses.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I'll never forget one night I used to fly a lot, and I was on a flight. Sat down, this guy sits down next to me, and he's got Eckhart Tolle's. I think it was back when Eckhart Tolle did the stuff with Oprah.
Right.
But he's got The Power of Now, or one of Eckhart's books. Yeah, A New Earth, I don't remember which one. He's sitting there and he goes, I said, oh, that's a great book. He said, I just got it. Actually, I'm a Christian. And I listened to Eckhart's interview with Oprah, And it's got me asking myself some questions now. Like, there's things I'm not certain of. I need to find out more about this, right? Mm-hmm. It was really fascinating. I said, you're going to have an interesting journey for sure. You know, I've got a case from that background too, you know. But, you know, people they've got to protect themselves. You know, it's all about right and wrong. And on the cosmic side, that you know as well as I do, there is no right and wrong. There's just a vibration.
Right.
And you can amp it or you can water it down. And watering it down is life on Earth. And amping it is getting connected to your heart and being authentic and letting people know that you love them and just sharing. Love isn't as gooey as everybody thinks it is. It's actually pretty well accepted.
Absolutely. And the last couple of years have really gotten folks to question what it really is, what it means to them, who they are, how they behave, what they believe in, who they want to associate with, the kind of lives that they really want to live. And what a blessing, right? In the midst of this global calamity where the narrative was attempting to get people to focus on self-hygiene and sequestration, right? Which automatically that simple act of behavior modification put them in a place of inquiry. Mm-hmm. Who are you going to talk to? Yourself.
They were condemned.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the funniest thing about the pandemic is when you live life and look at it from the non-physical, okay? There's always a pandemic. That's what happens in the physical, right? Is interruptions and disruptions, man-made, created disruptions for the intentional purpose of manipulating and controlling others.
I have to laugh. I had a friend, this just came to mind. He had, you know, this was during the law of attraction hoopla back in the day. And he says, you know, there's also the law of distraction and interruption.
Right.
So, yep. And we allow that to happen. Now, are those distractions and interruptions always something that
always
is diminishing, or does it give us the opportunity to have a deeper look at where we are unconsciously putting our attention?
Always. Do you know what our greatest asset is? This is a great question. Every show I'm on, I'm interviewed, I always ask people this. What do you think our greatest asset is?
Our being.
Mm-hmm. Free will and choice. We're the only ones in the universe with it.
That is included for me in that being. I just use one
free
word.
Will and choice.
Yeah.
And we don't use it. It's our greatest asset. You can create any life you desire. It's just free will and choice. That's all it is. You gain awareness, you make choices. And when you're working energetically and you have an intention, the universe must deliver it to you. Let me repeat that. It must deliver it.
And does.
What you have to do is communicate to the universe that you're responsible enough to have it. Mm-hmm. And the way you communicate that is with energy.
Right.
You do it with your heart. You don't do it with thinking.
Right.
You have an energetic foundation that allows for expansion.
Absolutely. And it's a wonderful expansion when you can get there.
It's so much fun.
It flips the do be have, right? That this is where the entrepreneurial seminars we're operating from, to a be do have. So the being is the primary, that's where the free will, the choice, the ability to mm-hmm. choose how you show up.
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. that brings the doing. Because those outer things are presented to you to step into, because that's where life is at. You want to know what to do? Well, look at what's right in front of you to do. Mm-hmm. Right? Don't look at the horizon. It's not that far away.
You know, the greatest the greatest tagline of I've ever heard of any company, so amazing, is Federal Express. And their new tagline is now and next. Now and next. That is how you live your life. Now and next.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just so succinct. It says it so clearly.
So in this transformational place that we're in as a global society right now, do you see us being able to have that? And let me frame this question a little deeper first. So it's been said that time is really a measurement of the change of entropy. That being so, when flow occurs, and that's the bridge of the inner and the outer, and you're finding that, let's call it a perfected form, fit, and function in the world, right? Because of your choices and your actions. Is it possible that we can use this silver lining capacity from the global kerfuffle to actually bring about a systemic change in our lifetimes by the efforts that we can make? And I'm asking that question mainly because I'm heading up a global peace organization, right? So we need that capacity and then enliven it.
My answer to that is yes, it's achievable. And the fastest way to get there is each of you as an individual has to play your part. So yeah, everybody listening to that,
there's no bench sitters on this one, right?
As you listen to that question, you're either part of the movement towards the live and let live or away from it. What choice are you going to make in the moment?
And it's such a simple phrase too, live and let live. Man,
that's it.
Woo. How can you not agree with that? Let me reframe that. How do you become it? Right? Because there's two, what we have are
be it.
Exactly.
You can't be it wrong.
Precisely.
But you can always be it better.
That is the acquiescing to our better selves and asking the questions, how can I be a better human? Mm-hmm. Right? Because in the depths of this humanity is this natural, and I believe it's a combination of biospiritual energy, right? It's in our genes and it's in our frequency, and it brings us to this natural evolutionary place of order. There's an order internally.
Absolutely. It's, I would rather refer to it as a symphony.
Yes.
Than right. Just order, you know. Right.
Well, I had an interview with Jeff Mishlove several years ago, and I was sitting on the other side of the mic, and you know, we were talking about this harmony and the symphony, and you know, our bodies are instruments we don't know how to tune, let alone play in concert with yet. And yet the capacity that we have to do so is right in front of us in every moment.
That's the craziest part of this. Not only is everything you need in front of you, it's all free.
Yes.
Let me repeat that. You have it already and it's free. What's costing you is not applying it. It's so much harder not living your life purpose than it is living it. So much harder.
Right, because you're stuck in survival.
Mm-hmm. Thriving or surviving. That's another keynote talk that I give. It's all about head or the heart. Which one do you want to come from?
Well, aren't we supposed to thrive? I mean, that's really our...
It's our birthright.
Right, right. One of my early guests, Michelle Holliday, actually wrote a book about thrivability. And it was just exquisite, right? These are the kinds of things we're all, I don't say we are all, the opportunity for us all to step up at this moment in time in our progression as a planetary civilization. And we can, it's ubiquitous, right? Mm-hmm. There's this sense of something's happening. And mm-hmm. do we want to be part of it? Do we want to resist it? Do we want to condemn it? Right? Those are kind of the three choices that we have. Lead, follow, mm-hmm. get out of the way. Right.
there's always three things happening. What you think is happening, what you want to happen, and what's actually happening.
Yeah. I remember, back in when I was getting my degrees, there was talk about the element of scheduling and time, and there was even a quadratic formula for it, and there were three aspects of it. When you think you're going to be able to get it done by the real time, or the what others think you will be able to, and then the actual.
Yeah,
right, that based on the scheduling of the events as they are. And what it turns out to be, the rule of thumb came out that it's going to take you three times longer than what you think it will to get what mm-hmm. you need done, because you're dealing with other things that you haven't really thought about yet.
Yeah. So,
and yet, the more educated we become, and I mean that sincerely, because we're drawing out that inner knowledge that we all have, which is what to educate is, then we are able to share more and be more in that collaborative space.
Mm-hmm.
There's cooperation. Now, for the future, for the moment, as a daily advisory message, what could you offer that could give people a succinct and in the moment kind of shift when the kerfuffles come up, or what advice, do you think it most important to share?
Explore metaphysics. And let me describe how I see metaphysics.
Okay.
We live in two dimensions. We live in a physical dimension, and that's our physical reality. And we live in a non-physical, which is what metaphysics is, non-physical dimension. And that's the reality of our soul. The reality of our head is here in the physical. The reality of our soul is in the non-physical. And I think the number one thing is just watch for defensiveness. With love, there's nothing to defend. And when you remove defensiveness from your language, you'll create a life that'll blow you away. It'll blow you away. Rather than, if something isn't done right, rather than protecting yourself, I actually have a gentleman I coach, and his son is working with him now, and he's having some issues with his son. His son in one of my group programs. So I gave his son this assignment, and the assignment was, hey, when your dad comes in, and his dad's a very successful financial guy, when your dad comes in and starts asking questions about paperwork, the only thing you can say is, yes, it's done and handled, or no, I'm sorry, I didn't do it, I'll do it now, is what I told him. So last week, his father's a coach with me one-on-one. He's been with me for about 5 or 6 years now. But how was your week? He said, the most amazing thing happened. I said, really? Like, big client or something? He said, no, I walked in the office and asked about something, expecting to hear defensiveness and protection and all this story about why it wasn't done. And I was just looked at and said, sorry, it isn't done, but I'll do it right now. And he said, I stood there shocked, not knowing what to do with all the extra time I now had.
And again, and the time, right? There's no entropy in that moment.
That explains life, you know, is get out of defensiveness. Just watch defensiveness. And another form of defensiveness is when you seek approval outside of you. There's no reason to seek approval when you love yourself. Mm-hmm. You know who you are. You know what you're doing. You got enough love for yourself. You don't need any more. You can appreciate it. You can love it. You can expand it. But you're not looking for it outside of you anymore. You're just being it.
Now, and also, the reflection of that, the attaboys, the pats on the back, or attagirls, or any of those kinds of accolades, will be there as a result of that. They may not be there immediately, because if you're just making the shift, you're going to send shockwaves in your immediate environment. And yet, over time, those people that, because you've stepped into that for yourself, then the authenticness will become present. Because a lot of times the accolades are they're not really meant, right? There's no authentic, because in the work environments, it's still steeped in competition and in saying things that are, you know, there's a guy named Dudley Lynch, you may be familiar with him. Back in the 80s, he wrote a book called The Strategy of the Dolphin, and then a follow-up book, Organizational Development. The follow-up book was Mother of All Minds, and in it, he says humans basically have, at least in the old paradigm, they have the alpha chassis and alpha mind, right? The body and the mind, and it's steeped in competition. The beta mind, still in the alpha chassis, because their bodies really haven't changed, but the beta mind understands oneness. And that's kind of the transition. And this was, gosh, back in the early aughts, I think, when he wrote that. So there's a lot of authors like yourself and others that see this transition in their writing and sharing and helping others to make it in their own lives. And, you know, it's hard to imagine what life's going to be like 10 years from now with this kind of activity happening now. Isn't it wonderful?
It's wonderful. Join us, everybody, and start being instead of doing, and see what happens. It's great.
Exactly. Bill, it's been great. I'll have your information below the video so that folks can tap in and connect with you. I really appreciate the conversation. It's been raw, real, authentic, and very apocalyptic, I'm sure, for the audience, and possibly even for us too.
Of course, first and foremost, right. Yeah, in fact, for your audience, I have a book that they can download if they'd like a copy of it free. It's called Clarity Has No Story.
Awesome. I'll have that below.
And they can go to myfreebook.me, myfreebook.me, and they can download a copy of Clarity Has No Story. The language you use is so important. It's so important.
It truly is. As you speak.
Thank you. Thank you, Zen. I so love the conversation. You had great questions, very thought-provoking, and great helping the audience hopefully get a clearer picture of how to live a more powerful life.
I'm sure it did. I know it did for me too. And just the moments of clarity that I had is, oh yeah, okay. Reflection, and the remedial, right? Because we already know it. It's just like, okay, we need to have a refresher course and
brush the dust off.
Because there are always refresher courses for me too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And thank you again, Bill.
Thank you very much. I've really appreciated your time, and to the audience also, really appreciate it.
Great.
Thank you.
Then namaste and in La Ketch. Thank you for sticking with us for this episode of One World in a New World. I'm Zen Benefiel, your host, and I'll see you next time.